Hi, I'm Cameron.
And I'm Emily.
I've never read Twilight before.
And I've read the books too many times to count, but now we're reading them together.
Welcome to Unbitten, a journey through the Twilight Saga.
Air horn noises. Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode. I missed you.
I didn't.
Oh. Well, that's why everyone likes me more.
That's true. That's understandable and true. React to this if you like Emily more.
React to this? What does that mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
This isn't a Discord message.
React to this Discord message if you like Emily more.
Yeah.
Join our Discord, by the way.
Patreon. Do it.
Mm-hmm. Discord. It's fun in there.
I like it.
I also like it. It's cool because we made it. It's like our child.
Yeah. Oh my God. We had a baby
Imagine
together and
like
it's a horrible creature.
And we love it so much.
I know. I already noticed that my voice is feeling scratchy because I had friends over this weekend and I think all I did was essentially scream at people. You know?
When that sounds about right for you.
When you're with your pals and all you do is yell at them.
Yeah. You're saying extremely relatable content right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, when you and I had our like friend meetup or whatever, we both left that weekend like,
Yeah, absolutely just not having voices.
But it's not like a painful scratchiness. I'm just like, oh, I'm hearing a slight change to my voice, but it's fine.
Yeah. So if it sounds weird, hopefully you know, your voice won't go out on you like mine did last week. We were going to record, but
then Cam sent me a voice message, and it was just like,
yeah,
it was
and I was so confident, like I sound fine.
Yeah, no, it didn't work.
As I actively didn't sound fine.
Right. No, I'm fine. I'm good. It's just a little scratchy I'm hearing, but that's fine. You can all deal with it.
Yeah. Sounds good. Nothing has really been going on in my life. I've started playing Stardew Valley again. I restarted.
Oh, cozy.
Yeah. So it's like when I'm playing Overwatch and it makes me want to break something, I just turn on Stardew Valley instead.
Yeah, I was going to say, all you're doing in your life is playing Overwatch?
Yeah, Overwatch. I'm just playing Overwatch, going to work, going home, playing more Overwatch, playing some Stardew Valley before I go to bed.
It's to help with your anger. So
it actually really helps.
No, it's good for you.
I literally, because I also, it's on my Switch and then I play Overwatch on my computer. So yeah. I have like, what are they called? The capture card bullshit thingy.
Uh-huh.
So I have one of those so I can just have Stardew open the whole time, but it doesn't take up any of like my CPU. So I can play Overwatch really like nicely, but then when I get angry, I can very easily switch screens, pick up my controller, and just start playing Stardew Valley.
Pick up my controller and play, just like yesterday, and I get on my knees and pray. We won't get fooled
this
again.
This one is going over my head.
Yeah, it's Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who.
All right, you're old. Anyway.
I know.
So we read chapters 23 and 24.
We did. Memories all alone in the moonlight.
That is what the name of this chapter is. I do get that reference. Chapter 23 is called
Memories. You made the reference last episode, so I sure hope you got it.
Oh, man, I wish I remembered things. I'm excited for whoever is listening to the episodes like back to back and was like, yeah, I just heard you say that at the end.
Yeah, you literally just said that, you dumb idiot.
I am dumb idiot. You're right. You would be right.
And you should feel bad forever.
So, annoyingly.
Yeah.
We don't get the actual, like, Bella trying to beat the shit out of Jacob.
It's so fucking stupid. It's so stupid. We jump in to, like, Seth's shoulder getting, like, set because she, like, Seth got in the way and she apparently hurt Seth. She didn't even hurt Jacob.
So unfortunate.
Literally.
He should be hurt.
What was the point of all
he
that?
He deserves
then?
Pain. I hope they show it in the movie. If not, I'm going to riot.
The thing is, this scene made me, like, think back and sort of question and maybe realize some things. Stephanie Meyer never writes, like, a fight scene. Like, We
the only one she wrote it in Eclipse or whatever it was. What was it? No.
We got Edward fighting Victoria in Eclipse.
Yes, that's what it was. That's the scene I'm thinking of.
Twilight, Bella's out of it during the fighting. Like, it's like James attacks her, she slams into a wall, and then she's like, oh, my leg is broken, and Venom, ouchie. New Moon, there isn't fighting. Yeah, there isn't really any fighting. she's just like, she's yeah, just there's sad. No fighting. Eclipse, specifically, she is away from the main fighting, so it's just like an Edward v. Victoria, but that's like the first time that there's fighting.
Yeah.
And then now she's just like, so anyway, I don't want to write all that. Here's what happened.
I know. We talk pissing about her, me like, off. Picking the worst times to end chapters, and this is one of those times.
Yeah, it seriously pisses me off. I'm like,
it's
so.
It's not like she can't write a fight scene, because she's literally written, she wrote one in Eclipse.
She's just like, oh, this part not important. Moving on. What's important is Bella feels guilty after.
Happening. I literally don't care. Anyway, Bella feels guilty. I literally don't care.
I don't care at all. Like, I'm sorry that Seth got hurt. I am. He's a sweet baby boy. But he's also like, I'll heal in an hour. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We also conveniently are only just now told that vampire venom is just poisonous.
Yeah. How convenient.
The werewolves. Which is just like, Stephanie Meyer didn't think about it. Until she had to write this chapter.
Did that not come up in Eclipse when it was specifically werewolf v. vampire?
Right. And it's like quote unquote explained away because she said they only now told her. I'm like, okay, you just only now thought of it. Like,
yeah. Why? Yeah, I just am mad that we did not get this scene. And Edward is like happy that she did it though, which I do like, because he's been playing the like, I'm very calm, I'm in control, I will not be like the worst person of the situation. And he's like, but Bella, however, will be a newborn. I can't control what happens.
Bella's legally allowed to do whatever she wants. Like, I will stop myself, but I will not stop my wife.
Literally, and he slays for that.
He does.
Jacob and Rosalie are back to deciding that Bella can't be around her own baby because she attacked Jacob. And I'm like, Renesmee doesn't have anything to do with this. She's mad at Jacob. Like, do you realize that? She's not fighting her little baby. Why would she attack her own birth child?
And you know, like, it's so, they're just like being, they're just being stupid. Because Bella doesn't attack her child. She attacks someone who she thinks threatens her child.
Right.
Like, if they stopped and thought about that for more than 2 seconds, they would realize that she's only attacking someone that threatens her nuclear family. Her very nuclear family of two vampires and one half vampire.
Right.
But, like, her immediate, you know, family unit.
Right. And also, she hurt Seth, but Seth is clearly the one who jumped in the way of this all. Like, it wasn't because she's like, fuck,
oops,
you, Seth.
My bad.
Yeah. I don't know.
Also, Renesmee bites Jacob all the time, which is great. I think he deserves pain. I wish she was venomous.
Yeah, same. Well, we can hope and dream. So Charlie's still a problem in her life. This is stupid. Bella wants to let Charlie see her.
Because,
like,
stupid.
He's still calling, like, is she going to be okay? Is she going to live? Where is she? What is she in, some hospital in like Sweden or some shit?
I also think it's really funny that Jacob and Rosalie just fight over Nessie like divorced parents.
Literally.
Which is hilarious because neither of them. You know what? You know what I have to say? You know what I have to say right now?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Why the fuck does Edward not get to hang out with his daughter?
No, I have the same fucking note. Where is the point when Edward holds on to his own baby?
Literally never once does he hold her. I mean, maybe he does like once or twice. But like, he just doesn't. Why?
Why is Rosalie still in charge of this baby?
Why? I get it. You have like maternal instinct. I don't care. Her actual dad is there and he loves her. Let him fucking hold her. And you know who would know Bella best in terms of like how well they could trust him or her around anything? Probably her husband.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe he should hold the baby And then, you know, he can figure out when it's right. He goes off of everything that everyone says. He's not like, he's biased towards Bella, but not in that way.
No.
So like, it just makes me so angry. Jake and Rosalie are fighting over Nessie, like they're divorced parents who want like the most time with their kid. And she is neither of their kids.
Right. Yeah, I hate it. It bothers me. It makes me
like really angry. And I don't want to like wear this out, but this is just a constant theme for me in the chapters.
Yeah.
Is that I'm just really angry that everyone who isn't Nessie's parents are taking charge of her.
Yeah. It fucking sucks. Yeah. I agree with everything.
Yeah, it makes me, and it feels like it's also just not talked about enough.
No.
It's just accepted as fact.
It's like, oh, they wanted
to. No one tries to fight against it.
Yeah, like, here's this child, and I guess unanimously, the child belongs to everyone.
I'm fine with, you know, Rosalie wants to do some babysitting. Who the fuck is Jacob?
Yeah, who the fuck are you, Jacob?
Fuck off.
Anyway, Bella wants to let Charlie see her and make his own incorrect assumptions. And that way she doesn't have to say goodbye to him and fake her own death and have a whole funeral while I guess she pretends to be a corpse in her own casket. Pretty fucking goth, if I do say so myself, that option.
That would be pretty slay. Also, alphas can talk to each other?
Yeah, they just discovered that.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Convenient, but whatever. Like, this one's where it's like, okay, that's convenient, but there's no other way when we could have possibly figured that out.
Yeah.
So it's fine, but it just is convenient.
Yeah.
And the wolves can't attack the other wolves imprinted on.
Yes. That is the whole big thing of like, yeah. Now there's no war. The wolves are just chill.
Yeah. Okay, now we can get to Charlie. Packs. Sorry, there were other things that I had notes about.
No, that's okay. The thing is, she knew the whole time going into her vampire life that she was not going to be able to have contact with her human life anymore. She was prepared to give that up. She was ready for what that experience would entail. She had her whole wedding where it's like, this is my last chance to say goodbye to everybody I love and have them in the same place at the same time. And now that it's come down to it, she's like, but actually, what if Charlie could just be like, chill? So she's got it in her head that they'll wait a few years for her self-control to be okay, let Charlie see her and be like, huh, you look a little different, but technically I think, based on my own non-knowledge of the world, that I guess you must be alive. You just look slightly weird. Did you get some work done? Have you been down to some plastic surgeons? I don't know. And just hope that he never notices that she's not aging? Like, what's the plan here?
Yeah, I also think she's being way too loosey-goosey about the whole, just, like, being around a human.
Right.
Like, the Volturi got so mad when Bella was, I mean, obviously Bella then knew, but still, just, like, being around a human for a long period of time.
Right.
In, like, an intimate-ish way, like,
that's what got the Volturi pissed at you, Bella.
Right. And it's like, if you just keep wanting to have this relationship with your dad, that's just, like, it's bound for disaster.
She has nightmares about the Volturi. Like, she's like, oh my God, I'm so afraid of them. They are terrifying. What if I just, as a vampire, kept my human dad in my life?
Right.
What if all those bad things that keep happening to me, where vampires are, like, after me and stuff, keep happening, and also my dad just stays and keeps being in danger? Wouldn't that be fun?
I think that sounds like a good idea.
Anyway.
I will say, outside of the plot, because, like, plot-wise, she absolutely, like, in the context of the universe, she absolutely should not be near Charlie. Like,
right.
She needs to cut that off. However, it does make me really sad, because they were so estranged as, like, father and daughter.
I know.
And we spent, like, 3 books seeing all of their progress through this relationship and, you know, becoming closer to each other. And so it's really sad. Like, it feels like it, like, completely invalidates and negates all of that. And I'll see how it pans out in terms of like in the book, but it does just frustrate me a little bit in terms of just like Stephenie Meyer went through all this effort to have this father-daughter bond get like better and better just to sort of rip it away. And maybe that is the point, but I don't know. I want it to be more satisfying than just he never sees her again and she's sick. Like, I hope there's another scene with them or there's something more that comes of it, because at this point it just feels like it kind of like invalidates and just negates the whole relationship that they've built up. Although that is sort of like the point of it, but I don't know. I don't know if I feel like 100% on where this arc, like this character relationship arc, is going.
Right.
And where it seems to have settled. We'll see, though.
I mean, it's very clear from even just the way we get to this, the first part of this book with the whole wedding thing and everything, that like Bella's just like the most precious and important thing in Charlie's life. Like,
I know.
It's so obvious and so clear. So obviously it's painful for her right now. And that's why she's like already trying to like mentally jump through hoops to be like, how can I keep this and make it
and
chill?
If this book ends with Charlie's only daughter, who is the light of his life, he thinks that she has died or she goes away from him and is estranged from him again in some way, and he is left alone with nothing and no one again, just like he was at the beginning of Twilight. If that's how this is going to end, I'm going to be so sad. Like, that is a really tragic ending for him. And that's, like, very, obviously, very theoretically, we still have time, but that's, like, where this is going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, and he's still not close to Renee, and they got closer because they had to take care of Bella together.
Yeah.
And they were connected through their daughter, even though their marriage didn't work out. And they were still, you know, they're still, they have this sort of, like, friendly love for each other and this connection because they have this amazing daughter. So it's going to make me very upset if it just ends with Charlie is alone again, smile. Like, I don't know. I don't know after how I'm going to be able to reconcile with that if that's how it ends up. But don't tell me.
Of course not. Also to reconcile is Jacob is in her life, just like she always hoped and dreamed of. You know, how can I keep him in my life without actually being in a relationship with him, because I don't want him like that. And she's like, not like this, though.
Right. Understandably.
Quote, how was I supposed to deal with having her belong to Jacob when she only barely seemed to belong to me?
Exactly. She talks about how she literally calls it in the text petty.
Yeah.
For being glad that Renesmee would be taken away from him if they, you know, move away and claim to be in Atlanta or whatever.
Alaska.
I don't think it's petty to want your infant, like, impressionable daughter away from the guy who's going to groom her. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, I guess. Like, I guess that's, like, irrelevant right now or something.
Yeah, apparently it's irrelevant, but also extremely relevant. Take her and run.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just,
I hate it.
I agree. I think she should just run away with this child.
I just think it's such a sadly true statement of she only barely seemed to belong to me. She
and this continues, like, just that this makes me just so fucking sad. Like, she's just had this baby. She died for this baby. Yeah. And I know we talked about this a lot in the last
episode.
She
gave up her life for her. Literally. Right. In every way.
In every way. And she didn't even know if she was going to make it to vampirism.
Yeah.
Like, she gave
up.
She was so uncomfortable and so upset. And everyone, I know we're like a day into this, but still, like, everyone is like, oh, cool for sacrificing your life for this baby. We're going to not let you ever see her. In fact, we're all going to be super fine with the guy who's quote unquote destined to be with her romantically just when she grows up. You know, it's fine. Then we're all so fine with him being her like full time babysitter guardian.
Yeah.
It's like, why the fuck isn't Carlisle stepping in?
Why
isn't Esme being like, hey, maybe you should fucking go away for a little bit?
Why does no one else find it weird? I think that's why it hurts the most, actually, because it is only day one. And she's like, oh my God, I've made it. I've had my 3 days of horrible pain. I'm alive. I'm awake. Where's my baby? And they're like, no, hang on. No, sorry. You don't get to touch her now. You gave up your life and became a vampire. So therefore now you don't get to hold your daughter. Actually, that's how that works.
Yeah, you defied all the odds and were actually able to live giving birth to your daughter and becoming a vampire all at the same time. Like, you got through that. But actually about that, fuck you. You don't get to hang out with your child.
So speaking of her child, it's time to measure the baby.
The baby.
They measure her 4 times a day because she's still growing fast. Even looking at her now from when Bella first saw her when she woke up, she notices that she's not quite as babyish round with, like, rounded features. Her hair has already grown more. And if she went from literal cells to a full, like, baby in a month, and in 3 days she's almost a toddler, her whole lifespan will literally go by so fast if she keeps growing at this rate.
Right.
And that is why they are measuring so much, because they're like, what is the rate of growth? How long? What's happening? So yeah, she's still doing her thing of growing really, really fast. Did you expect that to keep going?
I had an inkling that this was what happened.
Yeah.
But I don't really know where it leads. Like, I feel like I knew before, to some extent, that the baby was going to be growing kind of fast. But I mean, maybe I didn't. I don't know. Because I remember, I remember you named my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster, and there's, like, that terrifying Renesmee doll child.
Right.
Like, that's what I remember from memes. But I guess when I was, I guess I thought that she went away for a long time. So I didn't really expect her to grow that fast. I don't even know, like, are we going to get her as, like, a full-fledged person character?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's going to be so weird. Or is she, I didn't expect it. I mean, I assume she has to stop when she reaches maturity. My guess would be that she, like, grows really fast, but then stops. I don't know, because she's a vampire. Like, it wouldn't make sense for her to, you know, become 80 and then die immediately.
Then die.
Like, she has to, like, stop at some point. So I'm assuming it just means that she's growing to maturity faster, which is unfortunate for the whole Jacob situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, great, I only have to wait a couple more weeks before I can bone this girl. It's like, imagine you are holding a little baby and you're thinking to yourself, in about a month, I could fuck this grown woman. Like, that is what, I mean, he's, you know, quote unquote, trying to avoid thinking that, but that's what bro is thinking.
Like, I mean,
shockingly enough, the Quill situation is not as bad now.
Yeah, somehow it's gotten better. Somehow
the grooming got worse
right? than the Quill situation. Congrats, Stephenie Meyer, you did it. You did what no one thought was possible.
Yeah, you've outdone yourself in a really bad way. Thanks so much.
There's so much, like, explanation and wordsmithing around, like, oh, but I don't feel that way about her now. She's just the most important person in my life, and I would do anything to protect her. And I'm like, yeah, but you also know from experience of what imprinting is that when she gets older, she will also be your romantic partner. Like, you do know that logically. So how can you not at any point ever think, like, I wonder what she's going to look like when she's 18? Like, you know?
And not, we're not just spitting this, like, into the void. There's textual confirmation of his being obsessed with her growth.
Like, yeah.
He says it's slowing, mm-hmm. muttering this through his teeth. And he says, yesterday she grew 2 inches, today it's less.
Yeah.
And so he's clearly irritated that she is not growing fast enough. It's like, you are just waiting. You are just hanging on with bated breath until this child is old enough. It's so creepy.
Yeah.
I hope Jacob dies. I'm being so fucking for real.
I know.
One of them has to die. Because I do not want them to just fucking end up together. Or, like, for some reason, the, you know, the vampires go away in a way that he's no longer a werewolf. Like, fuck off. I hate it so much. This makes me really upset. I don't like it.
Same.
It's just all creepy.
So, yeah, they do their little measuring thing. And Renesmee's like, okay, can I be held by my mother? Can I have mama? Give me mama now, mama.
I know, and Rosalie and Jacob are so like, what?
Yeah.
You wanted to be with your biological mother? Like, that's so weird.
Also, again, this is like, my note is just Edward is again not holding his baby. Like, yeah. What? He has no part in like her upbringing right now. So the reason this chapter is called Memories is because it's just Renesmee being like, look at all the things that have happened in my life so far, and just showing Bella with her superpower of touch skin, give memory. Let me show you an image of my thoughts.
Yeah.
So she doesn't speak, but she sure has thoughts, and that is showing memories of her first memory is like drinking blood and it's of Bella like looking like shit because she's dying on the table.
Yeah.
Like her first memory is, remember when I met you for the first time and you looked like you were a skeleton? That was crazy. I loved you.
Yeah, before? Yeah. I feel like the first thing we get is, sorry. The first thing we get is her seeing Bella go to attack Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
which is hilarious. But then we get that Renesmee didn't want her to hurt Jacob because she likes Jacob too.
Yeah.
And she and Bella says like, oh, great. Perfect. Edward sort of tries to assure her just because he tastes better. And then Jacob is, I told you she likes me. It's like, fuck off. This is not for you. None of this should be for you. I have so much anger.
Same. Like, I'm just mad the whole time.
I feel like this episode is going to be just a lot of ranting about very similar things, but slightly different points. Like, this upsets me because he is butting in on this thing between this family.
Yeah.
He is constantly getting in the way of it, either vocally or just within Renesmee's memories. And of course, sure, Renesmee can't really help it. But then Jane was like, I told you she likes me. She likes me so much. Let me hold your baby all the time. I'm basically like your baby's other guardian. When she grows up, we're going to get married. You don't get to have any time with your infant child and your new husband. Fuck you. Like, you don't get to figure this out on your own. I'm going to be here constantly and making fun of you for it.
Right.
The way that he's like, I told you she liked me. He's like, I'm going to rip your head off. I'm going to rip his head off. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have newborn strength and rip his head off. He's making me so angry right now.
Yeah. And also, so the memories that Renesmee keeps showing Bella are just like, oh, Bella, remember you looked like this? Bella, remember you did this? I saw you do this. Because she's obsessed with Bella. Like, oh my God, you're my mother. You're here. I'm so excited. I've been waiting.
Yeah. Here are literally all of my memories of you.
Yeah. Which is very cute. It's very, very cute.
It's so cute.
Circling back, where are her feelings about Edward? Where are her memories of, like, I remember when Edward first held me, like, in his arms. I remember when he, like, cradled me and sang me songs to sleep. Like, where is that? Because Bella was, you know, transforming for 3 days. Surely in that time, Edward held his own daughter. And she is like, here's another thing you missed when Edward did this. There's no memories of that. And
Edward, like, straight up isn't in her memories.
We are deprived.
I don't think we see her once.
We are deprived of his act in fatherhood, which is such a shame because I think that he probably is very sweet on her and doting in the same way that he's always been very sweet and doting towards Bella to the point of overprotection. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't like it.
Transfer onto your kid. Like,
right. And it does say at some point that Edward basically, like, didn't leave Bella's side while she was, like, changing into a vampire because he was so like, oh my God, is she going to live or die? What's going on here? So I guess he's already an absentee father. Like, that's what we're getting from this.
Exactly. Like, the energy I'm getting here is that Edward doesn't really care about his kid. Like, he cares about Bella the most, which, sure, but, like, it makes me sad. It's not really what I don't know if that's, like, the conscious chosen text, but
that's the way it reads. It's clear
in the text that Edward doesn't have any space in his daughter's life.
Right. It's because he's the one who, for all intents and purposes, has allowed Renesmee to be cared for by Rosalie and Jacob for this past amount of time. Like, he's the one who's basically handed over guardianship to them.
Right.
Because to him, he's Bella, like, yep, they take care of her. Yep.
Yeah. Not a fatherly fucking bone in that man's body.
Ugh. So anyway, Renesmee shows some more memories, such as drinking blood, which is her preferred form of nutrition, as we should already know based on Bella needing to drink blood to keep her alive. Right. But
everyone freaks out.
Yeah.
And takes Renesmee away from Bella when Renesmee remembers the taste of human blood.
And Bella's like, Bella, ooh, it burns. Bella does
like a little quick, like, ooh, that was a burn in my throat. But she doesn't really care. And everyone freaks out and, like, her arms are pinned back. But she's just like, what?
She's literally like, did I do something? And Jasper's just like upset that Bella is better at this.
I know. Jasper gets so mad and like stalks away.
He literally does.
He literally leaves because upset that he's
like, he maybe was hoping the newborn
madness wasn't ever yeah. as difficult as I thought it was. He was hoping that she would have a struggle so exactly. that he would feel validated
yeah.
in him having a struggle.
Yeah.
And so because she's not, he's like has this level of like projection and just like,
yeah,
he just can't handle that somebody he's else like, is having a better time with it than he was.
Is this a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like, I expect I can't handle it, so therefore I can't handle it. Jasper has been so ready to just like tackle Bella at any moment. Like, she's newborn. I know what newborns are like. And then she's just like, okay, but like, she just remembered blood. There's no blood here, so I'm fine.
I will also say, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, it confuses me. I mean, I do get it to an extent. And vampires have never had a kid. So it's like, they wouldn't know what she would do to... They're treating it as if she's just around any person.
Right.
When she is theoretically hungry and the taste of human blood is the best thing in the world.
Right.
However, they just don't give her any credit for being her mother.
Yeah. And like,
do you think that, I don't know, there's something to be said about like motherly instinct where she's not going to immediately, I don't think she's even once, she has not once had even a smidgen of a thought about wanting to attack Renesmee or hurt her in any way, or even being violent while she is holding Renesmee. In fact, she actively gives Renesmee to, I believe, Edward when she decides to go after Jacob.
Yeah.
Like, they are not, I know that they
haven't
had.
They're not operating on reality in front of them. They're operating on their preconceived notions of what they think should happen.
Right. But, I agree. And they're just not taking into context the whole idea of just, of motherhood in nature in general. Like,
yeah.
Even if vampire was just like, you take vampire as like an animal species.
Uh-huh.
If like a mother bear was really hungry, she's not going to kill her cub. She's going to get food for her cub first. Like, that's probably not how it works, unless it's a very dire or very strange situation. Obviously, I'm sure those things have happened theoretically, but that is not the normal behavior of a bear.
Right.
So, like,
and
I think
that in some degree, if her baby was full human, then you might have an issue, because there is something to be said of the fact that, like, the thirst for blood is so overpowering, overwhelming. Like, when she did smell it in the woods, like, she just immediately ran. There was no thought. There was only need it, hunting. There's something behind me. I'll hiss at it to scare it away. This is my territory now. She did go full animalistic. But
yeah,
Renesmee is not even a full human baby. She is
half
vampire.
Has Bella even commented on the smell of Renesmee at all?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, there hasn't even been, like, her being like, I smell human here. What is that blood? Like, she's around a werewolf who she notes smells terrible, who does have blood. And she's around her baby, which she has not had any note of the smell of blood. Like, if none of the other vampires are like, you know, being around Renesmee is a constant temptation, why would it happen to Bella too?
Right, exactly.
Like, they just think she's going to go feral and be like, oh, but somebody made me angry and I'm going to squeeze my fist real hard. And oops, there was a baby in my hands. I popped her head off.
Yeah.
That's not going to... She literally was like, I'm getting very angry. Please hold baby now. Okay, I'm going to attack.
Yeah. She's so obviously conscious of
her actions.
Her child.
Yeah.
And her actions in regards to her child that she won't lose control until those around her who she cares about are safe.
Ugh.
So it's frustrating. Anyway.
Anyway. Carlisle wonders if her self-control is her gift. And then she's, like, disappointed that it's not, like, a real superpower.
I know.
But last chapter, she's like, oh, my God, my power might just be loving Edward more than anyone else in the world. And she's all, like, lovey-dovey and happy about it. And I'm like, I mean, self-control is, like, an actual thing. Yeah, like, what do you want here? Random lore drop. Carlisle has a friend, Siobhan, of an Irish coven, with the power of manifesting.
Which is so iconic.
It literally is. He's like, she doesn't think that it's a real power, but I've just seen her manifest, and things always go her way when she wants them to go that way. Yeah. Slay.
Absolute slay. I'm confused. I don't know if you have the same note when they're talking about Bella's gift. Maybe that being her gift. Edward goes, that's an interesting theory and quite plausible. And then Bella's internal monologue goes, for a tiny space, I was disappointed. Say, I know that it means for a small period of time.
Oh.
That is the stupidest phrasing I've ever seen. Like, I don't, how does that, that is a dumb phrase. Like, for a tiny space. It sounds like you were talking about someone being in a small box.
Or the literal space between words on a page. And Stephanie Meyer forgot that not everyone, that Bella is not physically reading the words of her own novel.
Right, exactly. It's like, for a tiny paragraph of my internal monologue, I was disappointed. That's just like neither here nor there, but I feel like we don't talk as much about how shitty the writing is sometimes in terms of like literally her phrasing. And I just wanted to make sure that I brought that up because I really don't like that phrase. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just confused me.
That's very
I don't know why it wasn't edited out. Anyway.
That's a good question for so many points. We get another memory that Edward sang a song to Renesmee. So, yay! He did a dad thing.
God.
I would like to point out he obviously sang Let Me Sign. Like, duh.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Robert Pattinson song.
Yeah, oh, obviously.
Yeah, that's what he sang.
Like, no question.
And also, it's September 13th. Happy birthday, Bella.
Yeah, fun fact. So Renesmee, she sort of shows her pretty much everything that's going on. And then soon she runs out of things to show her. And eventually she falls asleep. But Bella presses her hand back to her cheek and just watches her daughter's dreams. Which is so cute. Sob. Like... Oh my God, it's so cute. That little moment was just like, oh my God. And if any mother could like just like spend hours and hours watching their child's dreams, I think they would. So it's just such a lovely thing. And it's, you know, it's not real, fully developed dreams.
No.
It's just colors
and shapes,
and faces, her face shows up a lot. Unfortunately, Jacob's does too, but Jacob's shows up more than Edward, which is crazy.
But
neither here nor there. I think there's something to be said about Stephanie Meyer's relationship with motherhood versus fatherhood.
Yeah,
just in these books in general. I mean, there's something to be said about that she spent the majority of her life with her mother and only spent summers with her father.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Bella, I mean, and then she only started hanging out with her father because some weird thing happened with her mom. And then she has a kid and the kid cares a lot about mom and not a lot about dad. And dad does not really care that much about the baby.
Yeah.
Just something to consider.
I do consider.
But it's Bella's birthday.
Yippee. Chapter 24 is called Surprise. So idea thrown out here. Could be crazy. Okay. Call me crazy.
Yeah, maybe.
Gee, I wonder if it's named Surprise for the fact that Bella is getting a surprise.
No, you're crazy. That can't be it.
Yeah. Stephanie Meyer, you don't have to name your chapters. Just so you know, you don't have to name the chapters. You could just call it the number that it is. Actually, it's not a requirement of books to have chapter names. Many don't.
It's also so unfortunate because we know she can name chapters fun things.
Yeah, for Jacob's section. I know.
And then she just doesn't. She said Bella's not allowed to be a funny character. Only Jacob is.
I hate to praise a woman that we all hate these days. But I will say the one thing I always appreciated when reading Harry Potter was that the chapter titles were fun in a way that you're like, I don't know quite what this is referring to, but by the end, I will understand.
Totally. A similar with Percy Jackson.
Yes.
That they always had, by the end of the chapter, you understand what it's referring to, but at the beginning of the chapter,
it sounds
like
nonsense.
That's interesting, nonsensical, and I'm excited to read.
Yeah, I would say Percy Jackson more so does that.
I think, yeah, I mean, his are definitely funnier.
Yeah, for sure.
J.K. Rowling sort of did things that are definitely context related and you're not really sure what's going on. They don't necessarily always make sense. But then Rick Riordan did it in a way that was also very comedic at the same time. And I think that's where, you know, he shines?
That's where.
Yeah, more than the chapter titles in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But I agree. I wish they were like that. Wouldn't that be nice?
wouldn't it be? Just name them
or
numbers.
Just be like Hunger Games and don't name the chapters.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. You don't need to name them anything at all. Yep. Now we have to pay attention to them, though, because you have named them. So
great. Thank you so much for making us do another thing.
Yeah. So anyway, Bella argues that she's 18 forever. She stopped aging, so you can't celebrate her birthday. Who fucking cares? Like,
I'm over it.
I don't care. They're, you know, you stopped aging 3 days ago. Does it matter? Do 3 days matter? No. So Edward pulls out keys too. So Alice has a key. Edward has a key. Edward's key we know is for the after car.
Yes.
That's been promised.
I love how she had the before car for like 2 seconds.
I know. Just
they
to have a
money on money, bro.
I know. Just to have that funny interaction at a gas station where people are like, oh my God, how do you have that car? It's not even out yet.
Well, how do you have that fake car?
Doesn't it have bulletproof windows and stuff? Holy shit.
We could call an airstrike right now and you'd be fine. Like,
okay. So they rock, paper, scissors for who gets to go first. But they don't actually do it because obviously Alice just sees the future of how it goes and she wins. Yay. Where does Renesmee sleep? In anyone's arms. But I will say, the listed people are in Rosalie's arms or Jacob's or Esme's. In other words,
no mention of Edward. Never her father's arms.
Oh, God. It's so sad.
It's upsetting. I didn't even notice it as much when I was reading it, and now that you've really pointed it out, this is very upsetting to me.
I just noticed the lack of it constantly. I think that for a while, like before even like doing this podcast, it always comes back up to me where I'm just like, this is such a missed opportunity to really get in those deep parental feelings and fatherly love and watch. I don't know. There's something to me that I've always found very attractive in a man who is like a very good father.
100%.
And like a man holding a baby. I'm just like, wow, you are like, I don't even want kids, but you're hot right now.
The amount of times I fall in love with a man and his baby who's like at the restaurant, I'm just like, wow, like this is the dream.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, you are missing this opportunity for Bella to see Edward like this.
And I also think there is something that's being missed in also like even just the. I know that we kind of skipped all of the in between, and this is partly why it sucks that we never get in Edward's head. But like if we were like, ooh, just like. The angst of like, I love this daughter. She is so precious to me. Will I lose my wife because of this daughter?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that is a source of like angst that also just like really tickles my little brain.
Yeah.
And I love those sorts of narratives too. And And even so, like, I still love, like, you know, the whole idea of a father who is, you know, a man who is so, like, in love with his wife, and his wife for some reason is unavailable or gone or dead, and but he has this daughter who is this this part of her that he also loves. Loving. And there's something to be said there, and it would have been like any of these options would have been so good.
Yeah.
And we like, just loving, she just decided your, to not even have anything happen.
Loving your wife through loving your daughter, loving your daughter in a way of demonstrating like healthy fatherly love. Just any of it I would like.
Yeah, your wife is dying and you take comfort in being able to see the daughter that you two made that you love so much.
Who has Bella's also, eyes. She has Bella's big brown eyes.
Right, and it's like he hasn't even looked into her eyes long enough to fucking notice. Like, that's how it feels in the context of this book.
Like, Bella's brown eyes are gone. Like, we know that. She has big red eyes now. She's never going to have brown eyes again. But her brown eyes that Edward loves lives on in Renesmee. Where's that content?
Right, I want to see it. Let me in.
Ugh. Okay, anyway.
Write Midnight Sun for Breaking Dawn and rewrite it so Edward actually cares about his kid. Thank you.
Breaking Dawn, Midnight Sun version is called Breaking Down. Because that is Edward's story down. For most
I'm
of
breaking
it.
Down. Very good, very good. I like
So everyone's just, like, obsessed with essentially this baby doll for them that everyone gets to play with and dress up and hold and rock to sleep. And they all get to share because, oh my god, she's our special baby in the whole family. Despite the fact that, like, we're also seeing she's not even going to be a baby that long. And I just feel like you're every time that she is not with Bella or Edward is taking away from the few moments they might have left to enjoy their daughter as a baby.
Right. Those moments are so precious. And, you know, in real life, parents.
Exactly.
Parents
it flashes
so, like,
before your eyes.
It still goes by. And that is years.
Yep.
So for it quite literally flashing before your eyes in days, in that, you know, she said, I can tell the difference from an hour.
Yeah.
Like, that is literally going by right before your eyes. And it's just sad that they're taking it away from her. Like, that's another aspect of the whole thing that pisses me off, is she's literally missing her daughter's growth in a way that she can't get back, in a way that is going by so rapidly.
Yeah. So there's a tiny stone cottage in the woods. It's not a mansion. It's cute and flowery, and there's roses and everything. And that's going to be their little house away from the big Cullen house. Kudos, though, because Bella actually likes this gift. So well done, Alice and Esme.
It's like an entire house, which she's like, oh, my God. But she's happy that it's just, I love that Alice, like, freaks out. She's like, oh, you hate it. You hate it. It's fine. You hate it. Because, like, it's like the one person she can't tell, like, you know, And then Bella's like, no, this is perfect.
It's perfect.
You know, Edward even, like, makes fun of it a little bit. And she's like, no knocking my house.
Yeah.
She's like, it's really, I love it.
Because they still kept it, like, humble. Like, she's like, oh, it's a house. But, like, it's two bedrooms. It's a cottage in the woods. It's extremely cute. Like, I can just imagine this. This should be, like, an Airbnb,
I want this house,
honestly. Like,
by
I
the way, like,
it.
I want it.
I know.
With really good Wi-Fi, but then I want it.
Yeah, of course. And Alice says, the closet is stocked. I'm going to peace out because it's time for Edward to bone down. Because
down,
the other gift
bro.
Is alone time.
I know. And Bella has, like, no idea why Alice is being so weird. She's like, why didn't no one else come? Like, why are you leaving? Like, are you not going to come inside? And she's like, gotta go.
And then she scurries off like Roadrunner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, literally. And then Edward carries her over the threshold because that's kind of his thing now. And Edward almost calls Renesmee Nessie, and he's like, I'm sorry.
I know.
Everyone's thoughts are saying it all the time.
Everyone's
can't get away from it.
Everyone's calling her Nessie, by the way, which is something that we didn't mention. Like, everyone is like starting. Oh, it makes me so mad.
They're like, somebody needs to get Renesmee.
Yeah.
Not saying that name that made you attack Jacob and injure Seth. Whoops.
So this cottage is adorable. So Esme redid the whole place. She's like been wanting like a reason to redo it, and she tried to do it in a way that would that Bella and Edward would like, and then Alice helped and also, you know, stocked the whole closet because Alice is obsessed with buying clothes, which is great. So it says that it's from something, it's like something from a fairy tale.
And
the floor is like flat, a bunch of like mismatched like flat stones. It's all eclectic pieces. None of them are from like the same set, but they all match. Mm-hmm. It sounds so cozy. It has like a little beehive fireplace. And it's like, there's driftwood burning. So it's like blue and green. Like, oh, it's just, and it makes me think, like, I feel like it's a fairy tale. It's a Ghibli movie. It's perfect.
And the master bedroom is done to be like Esme Island with the like gossamer floating around the bed. It's like the beach house. This time the bed is not broken though. So they can break a new bed. I also realized in this moment that Bella did not change after coming back from hunting. So this whole situation where she fights Jacob and she's holding her baby and all the Cullens are like, oh my God, you're going to lose control. But you didn't. Her dress is like ripped to shreds. Like,
yeah,
remember
she's
that?
She's like fully naked.
Yeah. Like she's got scraps of clothing hanging on to her because she fought
I'm
a cougar.
I'm personally
going to
believe that they put something on her because that doesn't make any sense. That seems like she just forgot that that happened.
No, because it says in the book, like, it's her mentioning that her, like, clothes, like, the same clothes are on. Like, it's not even me thinking, like, oh, it didn't mention that she changed. Like, in the text, it is that she has not changed yet.
That's so wild. I would be so embarrassed.
Yeah, that is crazy that that's just the way she looks right now. Okay. Like, she's got her ripped up dress on because she's like, because she says her clothes are already destroyed anyway as Edward begins ripping the clothes off of her so they can fuck. Like, she's like, whatever,
oh
this
my
dress
God,
is ruined,
you're right.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, how revealing did that whole, what did she look like in this situation?
She must have been fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. I mean, okay. She's just walking around with, like, her shredded dress on, and no one's like, do you want, like, a change of clothes? We've literally got clothes constantly here. Do you want just, like, do you want a sweater? Do you want a hoodie?
Yeah.
No. They're just like, yeah, whatever. So Bella realizes an interesting conundrum. They never get tired. They don't
need
to
eat
food.
Yeah, okay, well, I'd say she, like, looks, like, they, like, undress. She's looking at him, and she can see him so clearly now.
Yeah.
She can see just how hard his nipples are. Like, like, she can see everything in 4K, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also discovered this with Bella. Is what you're saying here, that I didn't think of this.
Oh, uh-huh.
There is endless stamina.
Yeah. They don't have to go pee. They don't need to
clean up, I guess.
Nope. No rest, no sleep, no need for a bathroom. They don't even sweat. Like, you're not even like, oh, I'm
and
all sweaty.
This is like,
I gotta shower.
I was always like, you remember when I was always making those jokes about what the vampires do at night?
Yeah.
They all fuck all night. That's
yeah,
all
they
do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like this group of vampires.
They do be fucking.
They're all just a bunch of couples.
Yeah.
I think that's why Edward was so miserable for a century.
Because he had to hear all of them fucking.
He was living in a house with all of these people fucking.
And he could not only hear them fucking, but he could read all of their minds simultaneously.
Minds. And he's like, damn, I've been a virgin this entire time.
Yeah, he's like, why do I have to see Rosalie imagining Emmett's dick again? I'm so tired of this.
Hopefully they like went kind of far away. I don't know. Hopefully they're not all fucking in the house.
Yeah, out of respect for each other.
I'm just like gonna imagine that they all have their own house.
Yeah, they just all have little houses throughout the woods, like Edwin and Bella's. The sky does begin to lighten up, so I guess they really did go all night. Good.
Slay.
I love
that. Big slay.
I'm happy for them.
Me too.
Apparently, Emmett and Rose fucked the most, because it was 10 years before anyone could be within a 5-mile radius. All right.
Which is insane, by the way.
Get it. Get it on. I love that. For Rosalie, I can picture that. Yeah, she's sort of a Dommy Mommy vibes. She's like, come here. Come here, Emmett.
Yeah, baby.
And he's happy like that. He's good. Bella's like, all right, so after a decade, we can all go back to normal. And Edward reminds her that their nights are free forever. And after playing the parts of their human lives by day, once they're quote unquote back to normal, they can still do whatever they want. And again, your suspicion is completely accurate, because Edward says that there's a reason he's the best musician and has read the most books and knows the most languages, and it's because he's a loser virgin. The rest of them were fucking.
He's canonically a loser virgin who, while the rest of them are all boning, he's just in his room learning the keyboard. So silly.
Yeah. So,
and they never get tired of it, and they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah. And he's like,
actually, so wild.
Anyway, I guess I'll read another book series again.
You're right. I guess I'll just read Jane Eyre.
Yep. I'll read War and Peace. Is that again? The book? The one that's really long?
That's a book. Yeah, that is a really long book.
Yeah.
Tolstoy book that's very long.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yep. Okay, great.
And they laugh at that, and them laughing and their bodies moving gets them horny again, and then they start laughing again. And that's the end of the chapter. Finally.
They do be fucking.
This is the closest that we're gonna be getting to any like sex scenes.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like I knew that coming into this, that this was gonna be a very fade to black type of.
Yeah.
You know.
That's
series,
just the way
which
the
is
series
fine,
is. Yep.
But I'm just glad that we're getting it even like the slightest bit more. It's just the fact that it's explicitly like she explicitly is like they are up all night and they fuck the entire time.
Yeah, they are having sex and now they're doing it again, because the mere feel of their bodies slightly rubbing against each other is enough for them to be like, we're going again. Let's go.
Yep. So iconic.
I'm really happy for Edward. He is. Really, finally gonna outdo his siblings, I'm sure, is his plan. He's like, I'm gonna make myself a problem for all of you.
Yeah.
It's my
He's
turn
like,
now.
Just you.
This
wait.
Is payback.
It
for
really
that
is.
Century.
Like, I have had to deal with this with literally every single one of you.
Yeah.
You know what? Even so, like, including Carlisle and Esme.
I know.
So weird, because that's basically his parents. But like, he was turned before Esme. So.
No, exactly. He was there first.
Yep,
and he's like, yep. Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, great. I guess I'll go learn the lute.
Let me go learn to play the fucking hurdy-gurdy. BRB.
Very nice. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the end of these chapters and the end of this episode. The next chapter is called Favor.
Yep.
So I guess they're going to do something and not just, like, fuck the whole time.
Yeah.
Dick, but whatever.
We've got some answers to our previous question on the last episode.
What was our question? I don't remember.
What is your favorite bet that you have ever made? Because
this is a
about
good question.
Emmett making bets on, yeah. Okay, we have a lot of answers. Okay.
Hey, thank you so much for submitting answers, guys.
Literally, this is so fun. From Jenna, grad school BFF and I made a bets box, like in How I Met Your Mother, to make bets about our friends. One was about a couple breaking up. They did, but only after getting engaged and going long distance for a postdoc. Ooh.
Oh my God. That's dramatic
that
and long term.
Yeah.
I've never watched How I Met Your Mother, but
me
I
either.
Assume like it's like a bet box. You have to like write it down and put it in the box so you can't go back on it.
Yeah. That's my assumption.
That's cool. And it's like ongoing. I like that a lot.
From IDAI. We made a bet of whether my father-in-law would finish hanging the wallpaper in his living room before the war in Ukraine would end.
Oh, no.
He found out and got a sudden boost of motivation to do it. Wow.
Well, that's dark, but hey, at least he did it.
From Meg Harris, am I meant to have enough bets that I have a favorite? Are other people betting often? Meg confused.
All right, Megan, you'll get it next time, bud. I bet you that you won't make another bet with somebody that, like, actually goes to fruition within the next year. And from, if I'm right, you owe me a drink the next time we hang out.
Love that. From Nora.
If not, I owe you a drink.
The bet is not over yet, but I recently found out that I am a sperm donor conceived and immediately took a DNA test. MG. We're betting on how many siblings will pop up because it's common to have 20 plus.
Oh my God, please update us.
You guys are giving us such great responses. I was not expecting this.
You guys' lives are so much more interesting than ours.
Yeah, literally. From Madison, in high school, my ex-boyfriend bet me $20 that we would never break up. He later ended things during our history class by sliding me a note and a $20 bill, which I used to buy myself lunch that day.
That is so funny. Wow.
So he paid you $20 to break up with you, is what I'm hearing.
That's great. That's great.
Wow. Okay. From Addie. I have never made a bet, but I really loved when you said about the loud worms. My cat's name is Worm, so that is very important to me.
Aw, we love loud worms. Why are we talking about loud? Oh, right, because it was like, can you hear the worms in the ground? Worms.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hope that your loud worm is hanging out. Yeah. And having a good time. I hope it's like a white cat, too.
Aw.
Rub.
From Grain, when I bet my brother $5 and a fun dip to ask out a girl. Love the show.
I love, like, I don't know how old you were when you did this, but it's giving like so middle school energy.
Isn't it though?
Of like,
go ask her out. Go ask her out.
Right, right. First of all, $5, not a lot of money. Like you can do like allowance with that. You've had your allowance. You have like $5 to give.
Yeah.
Asking someone out, very like, you know, middle school, high school-ish. And then also like adding in the fun dip. There's something so like childlike wonder about that. Yeah. And I hope you got the fun dip. Or I guess I hope your brother got the fun dip and asked out the girl. That's a great story.
So next one from Katrina. I'm betting you that Cam screams during that Breaking Dawn Part 2 scene. You know the one, M.
Okay.
I love this.
All right. Well, you have to get this person's like PayPal or something.
Yeah, I guess so. There was no dollar amount listed, so.
Yeah, $1 million and I'll be silent the whole time we watch it, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great. We'll just rig it. It's fine.
Perfect. Cut that out. Cut that out.
Cut that out. Cut that out. Cut that out.
From Tambourine. Holy shit, if we are going to say that Jacob imprinted on an egg, can you fucking imagine a world where Bella pushed the wedding back 1 month and had the Renesmee egg as a period? I have brain rot.
Stop it. That's actually the good universe. That's the universe. That's the Twilight universe I want to be in.
Had the Renesmee egg as a period is such a sentence. Yeah, thank you for those comments. Yes.
Those are all amazing. Oh my God. From that was great.
Angelina, not a betting person, but just here to agree with you that Vampire Bella is Bella's hot girl era. She's a badass, and her reunion with Renesmee was precious.
So yeah. Precious.
From
Vilma Paolo. He's getting ruined by everyone else, but like their whole relationship is like quite literally perfect to me.
It is.
Like, yeah. I'm spending a lot of time complaining about everybody else in the situation.
But it's not Bella.
Because they're taking away from her and her daughter being so perfect. Like,
yes.
And I love how good of a mom she is. She just wants to love her daughter. Yeah. Oh, it just makes me happy.
From Vilma Palo. At a workplace Christmas party, no one had been dancing. Friend suggested that if I go to the dance floor alone and get at least 5 people to join me, she gives me 10 euros. Easiest 10 euros I've ever made.
Sounds like someone's a party animal.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if I would take that bet. I am so awkward. I don't like dancing anyway. Like, I don't even think I would be one of the 5 people you could get onto the dance floor.
I would take that bet. I would do it.
I know you would, and that's the difference between you and I. I would give you that bet because I would see it and say, there's no way she could do that. That's so awkward. I'm going to win this bet. And then you would go and win the bet because you just can do that.
I can just do that.
I would not be able to.
From Kate, I'm willing to bet that I'll never think it's normal to casually make fried chicken like it's a quick snack. What the fuck, Bella? Thank you for pointing out how dumb that is.
No, it's actually very specific. Like, I'm thinking about that. Like, chicken tenders in the microwave.
Right.
Fine.
Fine.
Frying an entire chicken.
So absurd.
Like, she didn't just, like, order KFC. Like, she's on an island.
She's anyway. Like, let me make some fried chicken. I'm going to batter it. I'm going to put it in the frying.
Like, Stephenie Meyer could have thought of any other food.
I know. From Heidi Toastby. Oh, my God. I can't believe I've reached the end of the podcast. I've been binging for a few weeks. Obsessed. Also, so weird listening to episodes from 2020, remembering what it was like. Cheers.
Yeah.
Welcome to the present.
I think about that. Yeah, I'm so sorry that you have to experience us, like, now. But also,
I'm sorry that you experienced us in the past, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry you had to experience us. Yeah, I think about that sometimes, how we started this podcast. It was like June or July of 2020.
Yeah, it was.
How we just, and it was one of those things that I think a lot of people did where they just started doing things during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I think about that now when we have people who are new listeners who start all the way back there. And yeah. You have to just get your little butts through like 4 calendar years of whatever this. We're going to hit like 4 years.
So. I know. We're about to.
Oh, that's so weird. Anyway, seriously, hugely brave of you to continue doing that. I don't even know if I could do that.
I couldn't.
Shout out to you guys. Shout out to all of you guys.
So that's our comments and answers from the last episode. Thank you so much for participating.
Yeah. What could we ask this week? Like, if you were like gifted a house, what would you want it to be like? That's a fun question.
Yeah, I think that's
like a fun like
oh,
what like
oh stuff? I have oh. Wait.
You have a better one. Tell me.
Yeah. If you were a vampire virgin, stuck up all night every night, what would you do as a hobby?
That's so much better. Learn. Thank you so much. If you want to tell me about your house, you can also do that. But that's the official question we're putting on the Spotify.
Yeah. That takes us to the end. Oh, you have an answer.
By the way.
Okay.
I just feel like we should answer our own questions.
Yeah, okay.
I would probably go for instruments first.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I never take the time to just sit down and like learn stuff from like instruments from scratch, but mm-hmm. I would like to know how to play instruments.
Right.
I just don't because I don't have the time or patience. So if I had all the time in the world and I never needed to sleep, I would learn like piano, guitar, like bass, like everything. Violin.
You can already read music, so.
Right, exactly. It's like a good jumping off place too. I would also do a lot of reading, but I already do a lot of reading.
Yeah.
So. What about you?
I would also do a lot of reading. I always feel like I'm tired all the time from the daytime and I don't get to do things. I would do a lot of writing. I really want to eventually
so true.
Write a book, but that is hard to do when you don't have time to think.
I was also going to say I would like 100% Breath of the Wild.
Like, I would 100% Baldur's Gate.
Like so, I would 100% like so many games. I think.
Yeah.
Like I think my two main things I would do would be like I would learn a bunch of instruments and I would like rank to top 500 in Overwatch and like 100% a bunch of like solo video games. Like.
I would also agree with you. I think I would actually very much like to learn bass guitar specifically.
That's hot.
Perhaps other instruments, but bass guitar is sort of my number one. It's
you
like
could
my biggest
start a band.
It's like my biggest regret that I didn't pick bass when I was first picking my instrument in middle school. I was like, damn, I didn't know I was gonna get so into like rock music for like the rest of my life, and that is forever an opportunity.
And bass is just awesome.
bass slaps.
Bass
literally slap at the bass.
Quite literally slap at the bass.
Yeah, I would want to do that. And I can't read bass clef on account of learning piano. So that's a good jumping off point. Yeah, I would write a lot. For me, nighttime is like mostly when I start feeling like, oh, I can just do whatever I want. It's quiet. No one's bothering me. And if I just wasn't tired, perfect.
Right, totally. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I don't think I would do anything productive.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't learn a language. I'm going to be honest. That's never going to change for me. I'm not going to learn
language. I would probably get to learning languages eventually.
Maybe I'll get around to it if I get bored in 100 years.
It goes in with the singing, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's why it would tie in so easily for me. But I can see why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of our yapping.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to... Did I welcome this person before? No, I didn't. I don't think I did.
You'll get two.
Well, if we missed you last time, welcome Chandler Sparks to the coven as a master vampire. Thank you, everyone who joins our Patreon. You should subscribe. Join our Patreon. Join our Discord. You will join the ranks of other master vampires, Dan, Thea, Emily, Steven, and Cassidy. Thank you so much for supporting us. We'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Unbitten. If you want to get in contact with us,
follow us on Twitter at UnbittenPod or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/UnbittenPod. And for now, the rest is still Unbitten.